Hello friends, welcome back for another off-the-cuff chat with me, FPL Mez. I'm joined by two more Aussie legends, FPL Planner and Current FPL. In today's episode, we preview the upcoming Game Week 3. We also briefly review our Game Week 2, discuss our transfer plans for Game Week 3, and cover our captaincy and punty McPuntface picks. You heard that right. So grab your drinks and snacks and enjoy the episode. So we're previewing game week three, and so before like we start sort of in the groove of like how game week three is looking, we were just having a bit of a chit chat about how immersed you have been during, you know, the preseason, all of that. Still early days. I feel like I'm still getting to know some of the players. The transfer window hasn't even closed. It's just been, yeah, it's been pretty crazy. But before we get into the details of all of that, let's just remind everyone a little bit, if you can share a little bit about yourself. So, Karen, you know, how long have you been playing FPL? Tell us about your FPL history.
This is my fifth year playing FPL, and great to be here chatting with you and Tien. I think over the last 5 years, I've been chasing the top 100K, and it's been eluding me every now and again. So the closest I've been is 110 or 112K. And keeping on kicking on stronger. And I think I want to be there this season, as much as it's getting trickier. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, how about you, Tien?
I started playing in the 2014-15 season, so that was about 10 seasons ago. Like a lot of people started out as playing in a work mini league. So I started work in a new workplace, and then someone say, oh hey, do you want to join the fantasy Premier League? I didn't even know what it was at the time, obviously, even though I've been watching the Premier League for a long time. I just started there, and then, you know, after a few years, got to know people on Twitter and started sort of branching out. So I've been enjoying it every single year. And I think, like you as well, this year I have been really taking a break from FPL in the off-season. I didn't really look at it until basically like the week before. When the season launched, obviously a lot of people try to get the low ID. I just went to sleep, and then, and then the next morning I woke up and obviously, you know, sign up to get like a 630,000 ID. But yeah, I don't mind. And then I just left it on auto pick for another 5 or 6 weeks until, you know, there was just a week before the start. So yeah, it's been great.
No, that's really good. I didn't bother with my sort of like ID and all of that either. Didn't care so much about it. I think I'm like, I don't know, like 6 digits, 7 digits. I don't even know. But it's a memorable number. So I'm able to put it into whatever I need to put it into really quickly, which has been great, actually. I feel very lucky that I got a number that has like multiple numbers in there. So it was easy to remember. Before we sort of get going, has your style of play changed this season so far? Because it's a question that I like asking, because I have been changing the way I've been playing. So it's my fourth season, and first season I was just playing like all over the place. Let me just play whatever chip I want whenever I want, didn't really focus too much on like how to play the game based on chip strategies and double game weeks, that kind of thing. Those are the types of things I learned a lot later. But each year after that, so now that it's my fourth season, I've been changing my style of play. So last season, I started off super conservative, I tried to pick a super template team as well, didn't have a great start to the season. The season prior to that, I was, you know, again, just taking a few more risks and balancing it out. And this season, I've gone aggressive in the start. You know, I triple captained Haaland, for instance, in game week two. So I went a little bit aggressive with like how I wanted to play. But have you found that over the years, like you guys have been playing a lot longer than I have, but Tien, have you found yourself like changing your style of how you play FPL?
I wouldn't say that I've changed a lot. So in the last five seasons or so, I think I've been playing pretty similarly. Even though every year I'll try, you know, tweaking a little bit or try something new. But I think overall, you know, it's still kind of slightly conservative, long-term looking and sort of slow and gradual style of play. But I did have a few sort of experiments with, you know, going a bit maverick with captaincy, or some you know wild picks every now and then. But yeah, I don't think I'm going full maverick just yet.
Yeah, fair enough. How about you, Karen?
I think Mira, you've got a really good set of guests today because I'm on the flip side again. I would say I'm probably the complete opposite of where TN sits, and again for the right reasons. I like to be a bit adventurous in terms of taking hits, in terms of chasing points where I can. And this year, though, you know, to answer your question, I feel given that we can roll five transfers, I've been a bit patient with how I move with the players I bring in.
Yeah,
and that's where, you know, having one or two differential picks in my playing 11 when I first set the team. And since then, it's been about really being patient.
Yeah, fair enough.
That doesn't seem to be how the Twitter community is moving. So we'll talk more about that later.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's been it's been so interesting. I thought to myself, wow, five transfers, isn't that amazing? And I was chatting to my family league and we've got new members that have joined the family. So there's a couple of weddings that, you know, have happened this year. And I went back to the UK for one of the weddings as well. And so there's more partners that have joined the family league. And they're sort of new to FPL or do watch football, but not necessarily sort of, you know, play FPL. And so, you know, I've added them to the family league and just gave them everyone a little bit of a, hey, by the way, we've got five free transfers now. And there's a couple of things that have changed in case you haven't, you know, picked up on that. And they were like, what? So I can go to sleep for, you know, 5 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever, and I'll have five free transfers to use at the end of that. And I'm like, yes. And then I was thinking, oh yeah, these guys are going to be a couple of casual players, you know, in my league. But yeah, it's going to be interesting how the transfers thing goes, especially because, you know, I've had high hopes about it. I had two free transfers going into game week three and I've already used up one of them. Spoiler alert. And now I'm like contemplating using the second one. Meanwhile, I was thinking, wouldn't it be amazing to save five?
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm actually. I'm a step beyond where I've already used two. So spoiler alert again.
Oh, I love it. No, it's really good. Did you set yourself any goals this season as well? So I've been setting myself, you know, I think I started off setting myself top 500k, and now I've been sort of hovering around selecting 250, 100k as a target. Do you have any like specific philosophies going into this season or targets, Tien?
Not really. I think in the last few seasons I've been pretty sort of, you know, have decent ranks. But I don't think that's the most important thing to me. I think my goal is just to improve every year. So even in the, you know, in the year where I finished like quite highly in the sort of, you know, just over 1,000, always toward the end of the season, just the last few game weeks, that I lost ground because I tried to play aggressively and try to gain rank, but then I'd end up losing rank in the last few game weeks. And it seemed to be the theme for the last couple of seasons as well. So I've been trying to just sort of like experimenting with different way to play so that I can have like a strong finish.
Yeah.
So that, you know, just you know, the goal is just to, you know, find the weakness in where I, how I play, and then try to improve that rather than having a specific target of rank, because that, to me, rank is just a number.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter whether, like last season, for example, you know, I was in a touching distance of 10K, but then instead of trying to be conservative and stay in the 10K, I went aggressively and eventually dropped out to about 60K.
Yeah.
But that didn't bother me at all because I rather went for it and, you know, just finished really strongly. Like whether you're 60 or 600, I don't think it matters too much.
No, I totally agree with that. So last season, you know, I had awful ranks, and I learned the hard way, I guess, like from having a bad rank to then not caring about the rank as well. So I think for so long I was in 4 million, 3 million, 2 million, back to like 3.5 million. And, you know, I was hovering around there for at least sort of, I don't know, 5 to 10 game weeks. I was, you know, in that sort of vicious loop of like just going up and like fluctuating up and down. And if anything, I walked away from that thinking, I don't care about this as much. And, you know, anything I do is going to be better than where I am. And so I started changing like the style that I was playing, stopped being as conservative, played with a bit more heart as well. And, you know, what my gut was saying, like bringing in Trippier at like crazy at points of the season, and, you know, just going for moves that I normally wouldn't go for. So yeah, and I'm really glad that you know, I got the worst of it, because I think the year prior, and I think I feel like I've had a full emotional roller coaster with FPL so far. So it being my fourth season, you know, my first season I was like just learning about it all. Second season I finished like 2.5K, and then I was like, yeah, this gonna be fine. Going into my third season I'm hovering around like the 3 to 4 million, and it just brought me back down to earth. You know, it was like, oh yeah, you know, I just have to learn this game all over again. And it was really good. I really enjoyed the hustle of trying to make up the ranks and play differently and have fun with it as well. And yeah, with the captaincy picks as well, the amount of times Tien, you and I were sort of like, should we go against Haaland? What could go wrong? Oh no, it's great.
Only a hat trick.
Yeah, that's right. Let's just give a bit of a shout out to everyone that's joined in the chat. Thank you so much, you know, for being there. I'll just so M1974, thank you so much for giving us a heads up about sound and all of that. Lewis, I hope I'm saying your name right. I hope it's not Louis. No, I'm pretty sure that might be Lewis. You're in the USA and it's 4:15 a.m. Wow. Okay, so it's probably about 4:30 now. But
thanks,
yeah,
for joining
thank
us,
you
Lewis. Really
so
appreciate
much.
It.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And we've also got Peter in the chat. Great to see you, Peter. And yeah, Dhiraj, lovely to see you as well. Fantastic. And yeah, it looks like this is great. Yeah, saving transfers, more chances of seeing unicorns. That's exactly how it feels. Anyway, let's get cracking with our, you know, very quick, like we won't spend too long on our game week two. But I'm doing a slightly different format of how I normally do off the cuff. So for those of you that are joining for the first time, off the cuff is pretty unscripted, although I've probably done a little bit more prep this time than I normally do. And I've been using a online tool to just share my FPL journey. So if you've caught any of the videos before, or this is now on a podcast as well, so if you caught any of the episodes previously, you would know that I've been using an online collaboration board or tool to just document my FPL journey, and I thought I'd use it for the stream as well. So usually I'll just share the browser and find things from Twitter or something like that and just pop them up. But this time I thought, let me just do something a little bit different. So yeah, we'll give this a go. But Tien, over to you to have a chat about your game week two and how you went with game week two. And I apologize, I realized that the movement on the screen may be a little bit, hopefully it won't give you motion sickness. I apologize in advance if it does.
That's all good.
Yeah. So game week two, I think it was fine. Just above average, above average. Pretty happy with the captaincy on Haaland. Obviously, no triple captaincy because I do just want to save it for later. Mm. So in goal, I've got Pope. She didn't have to get a clean sheet this time, unfortunately. Trent and Porro both got a clean sheet, and Munoz. Obviously Crystal Palace has been pretty poor defensively, so nothing there. In midfield, I've got Saka and Jota, both got me just an attacking return edge. And Smith Rowe as well, what a hero. So very happy with him. But on the other hand, Nkunku is a bit of a disappointment. So I think I started to have to admit that I think probably Nkunku might have been a mistake, game with one pick. And then up front, beside Haaland, I've got Isak and Muniz. So Muniz actually came on to replace Solanke, which was injured. So that was an unplanned transfer that I had to make sort of closer to the deadline. I was thinking about rolling and play Roger, but I think in the end I thought, you know, Solanke was injured and he was coming into like a sort of a few tough game weeks anyway, so I didn't really want to keep him. So I made a transfer, and Muniz should have a few, you know, a few decent game weeks coming up.
Yeah.
So I think that was a transfer that I wanted to make. So yeah, 77 points. Not great, but not bad either. I'm just
pretty good.
Sort of around the average.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really interesting about Nkunku, and obviously he's been, you know, heavily transferred out this game week as well. And probably even prior to that, I think after his sort of early sub in the first game week, I think a lot of people started to transfer him out as well. So yeah, it's really tough with Chelsea at the moment. I think like we'll get onto like the fixtures soon anyway. But yeah, with Chelsea, they've just got so many players, right? It's bizarre what's going on over there. But yeah, Nkunku,
Jan,
unfortunately.
Question for you. I know you've mentioned you made a move last week for Solanke to Muniz. Is Nkunku on the chopping block for you this week? Or are you holding fire? I know you've got Rodgers on the bench, so I ask.
I've still got him. I mean, Roger has a good fixture this game week, so I'm happy to play him and just put Nkunku on the bench.
That makes total sense, just for the viewers.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be talking about a game week three team, so we'll cover some of that in you know, our transfer plans and all of it. All right, Karen, let's chat about your team. So how did you go game week two?
I was pretty happy with the score that I got, given that I don't own a Salah or a Trent, and being a Liverpool supporter myself, I think I've hedged my bets when I've gone for a Saliba versus a Trent, and then putting that 1.5 million... into maybe a third forward spot. But now that Solanke has been injured, I've already made my moves, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, for the audio listeners, I've got Henderson as my keeper, mentioned by Tien, Crystal Palace, not so great defensively. But I'm happy with my defense when it comes to Saliba, Porro and Robinson. Pretty much everyone getting a clean sheet. Saka, Diogo Jota, Gordon. Again, everyone returning, couple of assists and a goal. Smith Rowe being the hero again. Minte was a bit of a meh. Having said that, Haaland, I captained 2 minutes before the deadline. I had a triple captain on him, Mira. But
What happened? Why didn't you do it?
I do not want to blame anyone, but a certain tweet came onto my timeline.
Yeah,
and it was from FPL Planner. Tien said, "Don't triple captain because of FOMO."
And
I said, okay, that makes sense to me. If my personal self would be making the decision, I wouldn't be triple captaining. So I removed the triple captainship. So onward and upward, I'm saving it for a double game week. And Isak has looked a pale shadow of himself from last season. And I know a lot of people are losing faith. I'm holding on to him. So that's where my playing 11 was. 90 points. I'm pretty happy with it. Above average, fairly. And the first couple of game weeks have been pretty decent for me.
Yeah. It's really funny that you say that about FOMO, and you know, so you had FOMO of not playing triple captaincy, whereas I was having FOMO, and I'll chat about my team in a moment, but I was having FOMO for playing my triple cap, like, as in, you know, I saw so many people, like when I tweeted out a couple of days, you know, prior to the deadline, I was like, oh, is anyone up for triple captaincy? And so many people were negative about playing the triple captaincy, right? So I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't play triple captaincy. Maybe I shouldn't go there. And I actually started getting FOMO about, am I playing it too early? And will I be missing out later? So it's really interesting to hear that you had FOMO for playing it. for not playing it.
477,000 managers, triple captain, and kudos to you guys, including you, Mira. 51-pointer, can't complain at all.
Yeah, but I left it till 15 minutes beforehand, and your score is fantastic for not triple captaining, right? Like 90 is huge, like definitely above average, and really good picks on your part as well. You know, I have Saka FOMO at the moment, but then I've got Salah in the team as well. So yeah,
I think Saka is a bit of a Salah light right now.
Yeah. I am definitely contemplating the value of having Saka over, you know, Salah at the moment. But obviously I've got massive Liverpool bias as well. So, and it's tough because, like, I know, Garen, you're a huge Liverpool fan. You know, we've got our own sort of Liverpool group chat as well, like with some Liverpool supporting managers as well. And it's really tough. Like, we're chatting about all the things when it comes to Liverpool, and we're going to be talking about the United and Liverpool match. I love how we're all sort of wearing our United and Liverpool sort of some shape or form, like we're representing our clubs. I had to go with Salah, like, in my team. But yeah, kudos to you for having a great team and smashing it this game week as well. Much, much higher than I've seen scores of 90-ish playing triple captaincy. And yeah, so yeah, well done, Curran. My team, I won't sort of go through too much of my team just because I did a video yesterday. I realized, I was like, oh yeah, you know what? I need to continue keeping a bit of a diary. So let me just smash out a very quick video. So I'll link that in here if you want to catch that. Like, I just go through a bit of a thorough sort of review of my game week 2. But look, I've got Henderson, Porro, Gabriel, Robinson. So I think, Curran, we've got the same sort of defensive lineup there. I've got Jota, Murphy. Murphy hasn't worked out. Like, that was a bit of a punt kind of pick for the season, or not season, for the first couple of game weeks, just because of, you know, Newcastle's fixtures, hasn't really worked out. Smith Rowe, absolute legend as well, did well in the first game week, got the double digit return in the second, so really pleased with that. Got a really good fixture coming up, so I don't think he's going to be going anywhere. Salah, and then my front line has got Isak, Havertz, and Haaland, and obviously triple captaincy on Haaland. But like I said, you know, I had FOMO for playing it. I was like, am I playing it way too early? This could go terribly wrong. And then Ipswich scored the first goal, and so I was like, oh shit, this is going to go terribly wrong.
That's City being City, conceding the first goal, right? Or in the last minute.
Yeah, it was giving me Liverpool vibes, Karen. I was like, oh, true that. Yeah. This is what Liverpool would do. What the hell's going on here?
we do need a bit of a wake-up call every now and then.
Can I just add my 2 cents on the FOMO thing? And I think, you know, whichever way you choose to do, as long as it's your decision, then no matter what happens, you'll be more happier with the outcome.
Completely agree.
The thing with FOMO is if you do something because of FOMO, and you'll be blaming yourself a lot when it doesn't work out. Whereas in this instance, obviously it worked out for you because you went for it, and it was your gut that you went for it, and it worked out. So it's great. And then for you, Karen, you know, you took it off because you didn't believe in it, right? You were having it on because of FOMO, and then you took it off because that was your gut decision. And obviously in this instance, it hasn't worked out for you, but I think you'll still be a lot happier than other way around when if you had it on and it didn't work out, and you'll be really kicking yourself.
I totally agree, Ken.
The most important thing is, you know, we can talk about it after the fact, then it doesn't really matter because we know the outcome. But, you know, no one knows the outcome before it happens.
Shout out to FPL Wire. For those that don't view that, Pras definitely made a really good point on the podcast this week about game week 33 being a potential out for those who didn't triple captain this week against Ipswich. There's potentially a really good double game week for majority of the big hitters. So, yeah, just a plug in there.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree, you know, that there's going to be better game weeks and potential opportunities as well. So personally, I've not had much luck with the triple captaincy chip. And when I've played it on a double game week player, I've not got anywhere near the 51 points that I got this game week, right? And so for me, it's a bit of a, it's a chip that could go, it's like massive swings that could happen with this chip. Now, because I've not had much luck with it, I thought I want to get it out of the way and not have to think about the triple captains. It's the same with the bench boost. Like last season, I left my bench boost really late. And so when I'm playing my wild card, I'm then planning for a bench boost. And then I'm holding that much value on my bench as well. It's very frustrating, like when you're planning around some of these chips, right? So noting that there was only going to be two double game weeks, and we just don't know what could happen as well. Like I was listening to the SideNet, FPL SideNet guys, you know, Andrew and Peterson, in their latest episode, and you know, they were talking about how they hope that something happens so that the Southampton fixture for City, for instance, you know, ends up being in a particular game week that is a double, right? So it's then designing that game week to be one where you can, you know, captain one of those big hitters. But we just don't know. Like, and that's the thing. I didn't want to play with the probability of what could happen in the 30-something game weeks after. And it just presented as a good opportunity. So I went for it. And yeah, it felt good as well. Like, despite sort of feeling the FOMO of playing it too early, it felt good playing it. Yeah, it was nice to just get it out of the way more than anything. Really good comment from John, so in the YouTube chat. So thanks again, guys, for tuning in. So Newcastle are generally playing poorly. Isak is a casualty of that more than cause. Yeah, like I watched watched some of the highlights from even, you know, the Carabao Cup fixtures, and yeah, Newcastle's just not instilling me with a lot of confidence at the moment, unfortunately. But yeah, let's. I feel like I might end up holding Isak a little bit longer. And yeah, we'll talk about our game week 3 team soon. And, you know, but before we go there, just wanted to jump straight to the fixtures for game week 3. So is there anything that you guys want to add about game week 2? Any sort of key moments that sort of stand out for you that you want to, or things that are happening that, yep, perfect. Let's move on to game week 3 fixtures. So, what we're not going to do is go through every single game, just because there's quite a few games. I think some of them are, I mean, we can take a stab at some scores for some of them as well. But I've just highlighted out a couple of the fixtures that I think would be good to have a bit of a chat about. So we are very lucky, like the timings that you see on the screen. So those of you that are watching, it says that the first match is going to kick off at 9:30 p.m. So over here in Australia, obviously with the time difference, we're very fortunate right now that we can watch a 9:30 p.m. match on a Saturday. That's soon going to change, and it will become, I think it's 11:30, and then it will change to, you know, 12:30 in the morning, and it becomes more and more of a pain to watch FPL or watch EPL and follow your FPL team and the rest of it. So this is where, you know, I'll be making pancakes again in the morning, watching highlights, because I just can't be bothered to stay up to watch the matches. Arsenal Brighton, you know, let's have a chat about the first game, you know, the first match of the game week. Potential captaincy as well, with Saka there. What do you guys think, like, with this match? How do you think it could go?
I see it a 2-0 kind of a game for Arsenal, playing at home. Last couple of seasons, they haven't quite made it till the end to win the title, but they look like strong contenders. And the way they've recruited as well, in the midfield and in the defense, I think Arsenal are up there. So I say it's a 2-0 kind of a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a win for Arsenal. But I think they'll probably concede, because Brighton have been looking pretty good recently as well, especially at attack. I mean, Raya has been sensational in goal in the last two games. And obviously, I don't have an Arsenal defender, so it's kind of like a little bit jealous with you two and a lot of people who have an Arsenal defense. But personally, I think they concede this game, because historically, I think Arsenal have been leakier at home compared to away. So you know, they get a win, and I'm hoping Saka will once again get some attacking return, because I think he's been looking really good. I'm considering captaining him as well, if not for the early kickoff, which is probably the main thing that will
Well, he's
me off
definitely
that.
up there as a captaincy contender,
But
so.
yeah, but I'm tempted, because we'll talk about Man City in a second, but Man City away from home versus Arsenal again at home. Yeah.
Yeah, I so yes, I've got a Arsenal defender. So I've got Gabriel. I went for Gabriel instead of Saliba, mostly because the EO was yeah, it was very low, so it just made sense. But I thought I'd give myself this the same pain that I gave myself last season. Why not?
Oh
Just
dear,
got used to
I still
it.
can't forget that. I
Gabriel
was on the
Gate.
receiving
Were
end. I
you
was on the
the?
receiving end.
I was just going to ask you, were you on the receiving end like I was?
I was, yeah. I had Gabriel and I slept because the deadline was at 3:30 a.m. or something.
Yeah. And then what did we do this season? We go and pick Gabriel again.
I've got Saliba
Oh,
for
have
that
you?
very
That's right.
reason.
Just me then. Just me. So you've both got Saka in your sides. Is that right? Yeah. So I've
Very
got
tempted to
habits.
give him the armband. Very tempted, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I've got habits. I decided to go with Salah, of course, in my team, and that meant I couldn't get Saka, but also I was very tempted to have Havertz instead and just again change up my forward line, and rather than going for Haaland, Isak, and then a cheaper forward that I could bench like your Muniz or Pedro, I decided I'll go with Havertz, and of course Havertz got a return in the
It's worked
first
out
game
well so
week.
far.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's been okay. Like he only got 2 points in the last game week, but that's all right. Like I'm relying on him to hopefully get some returns as well. But yeah, I think this match is going to be interesting because and it always is, between Arsenal and Brighton. I feel like Brighton have got a really good side at the moment, and defensively, completely agree. Not very good, but from an attack point of view, I have a feeling they may nick a goal against Arsenal. Just because they've just been full throttle attack, in their last couple of game weeks, and they've won their last two matches as well.
Yeah,
Yeah,
well, they're in the top
exactly.
four right now in terms of chances created and points as well.
Yeah. So we'll chat about captaincy in a mo, but you're seriously thinking Saka then, both of you at the moment?
I'm
Second
very
choice for
tempted,
me
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. We'll jump to West Ham, Man City, and then we'll come back to some of the other ones if we want to have a chat about them. But yeah, so City's away to West Ham. Like, what do you reckon with this one? Like, Haaland's right up there for from a captaincy sort of, perspective. Like, I'll have a look at some of the clean sheet odds and the goal odds in a mo as well. But yeah, at the moment, my armband is on Haaland, but I'm very tempted to go Mo. But that's again a bit of a Liverpool bias there, so I'll come back to that. But I feel like Haaland may be the captaincy choice again, and I feel like I'm being super boring with my captaincy picks, like especially last game week and potentially thinking about City. But yeah, West Ham haven't been looking too great. Not sure, like they've got a new manager. Yeah, what do you reckon, guys? Like, do you think it's going to be a big scoring match?
I'm going to edge with caution here because, personally, when you say you're going a bit boring with Haaland, doesn't necessarily mean that's the worst or the wrong pick, right? Because last season, just for being adventurous, and again, that's the style of play I adopt, I was burnt by not going Haaland captaincy when I should have gone for the obvious choice. So, yeah, just a word of advice there. But having said that, West Ham versus City. I see it being a possession-heavy game for West Ham, and then Man City might, get a couple of goals. That's how I see it. Not a clean sheet for Man City either way. I think there are better options, and if there's one week for us to go against Haaland, this could probably be one of those game weeks.
Yeah, I like
Yeah,
it.
I think I agree. I think I agree. I mean, Man City will win the game, but I don't think it's going to really be like a smashing sort of 3 or 4 goals against West Ham. So, yeah, away from home, they're not as good. I think, if you want to go against Haaland, then it is a better fixture to go against, definitely.
Do you have any other City players in or like in your thinking at the moment as well? So I don't think either of you, like obviously Karen, I know we've got the same pretty much similar back line, but Tien, you have to remind me, like do you have like
Yeah,
Guardiol
no, I
or
don't. I had Vario for, I think, the first draft that I had, but
right.
then yeah, in the end, I switched it to Porro and Munoz instead.
That's fucked up, though, for Sparrow.
Because I think at the end of the day, City does have they do have that habit of just conceding one goal every game,
And that's
Edison.
consistent, right? Even this
and
season.
it's been happening exactly the same. For the first two games as well,
Yeah.
and watching City, like Vario is not as attacking as used to be. I think without Walker, I think he has to stay back a lot more. So like why would you pay 6 million or whatever for someone who doesn't even
Yeah.
get clean sheet?
Just for other
So.
players, sorry, Tian. Just for other players from Man City, two players have really caught my eye. One of them is Rico Lewis. Him hitting the post or the woodwork. I think owners who brought him in for game week two as a Kwanzaa substitute or replacement were really unlucky. Savinho, he looks like proper Mahrez to me. So wearing the same number 26 T-shirt, and he's really rocking already. Yeah, on the right flank, cutting in, and it's only a matter of time that he becomes an essential at 6.5. So, as long as Champions League doesn't make him a substitute option, as long as he starts with Pep Roulette, I think he's a really good shot at 6.5. Early days, though.
Yeah, and he's really cheap. Like, yeah, you're right. It's super cheap, 6.5. Yeah, I'm not thinking about bringing in any other City players though in my team. Like they've not really been on my radar, only because like Foden's out at the moment. He'll come back in. Doku, Grealish, like some of these guys are coming in and out, and Rodri's not ready, at the moment. So, yeah, I'm kind of like just relying on Haaland being the output at the moment.
Yeah, he's a bit of a shield pick there, right? Once you have him,
That's
you're
it.
covered for Man City for the time
Yeah.
being.
Yeah, that's it.
Saying yeah, having said that though, now I mean obviously buying any City player now is probably not a good idea because after this week they've got Brentford at home, which is a very good fixture, but then they've got Arsenal and Newcastle away following that, so not the best. And even like Haaland is, in my opinion, dispensable as well. If you really want to take some punts for those 2 weeks, because a lot of people will be looking at wild carding in game week six, so potentially you could sell Haaland to switch, to Mo
Would you do it
Salah,
this
for
game week
example.
though, Tian? Or if you're
This
on a
game
wild
week.
card now, yes, but if you're on free transfers waiting to wild card in six, what would you do then?
If you're wild carding this game week,
No, Haaland makes sense.
I think there's a yeah there's a an argument to be made to not have Haaland,
I
because
agree.
he could, yeah, but then yeah, you do need a plan to bring him back from game week seven, because they have a lovely run of fixtures from game week seven, or at least have something to think about. But yeah, well, I mean, if you are cutting this game week, then of course you should be thinking about rolling free transfers, at least a couple of them. Think that
Can try.
unicorn, unicorn is probably easier to find, but yeah, like at least try to aim for that. But I think there's a very strong argument to go against Haaland if you are cutting now.
Akib's got a question around what's your thoughts on Gundogan at 6.5 mil?
I wouldn't touch that, to be honest, personally. He's just coming back. I know he's got a good rapport with the manager and the team, but Champions League around the corner, and they look fairly settled without him. So I wouldn't go there personally.
Yeah.
Same. There's other better 6.5 million options elsewhere. There's no need to play the pep roulette when you don't have to.
No, that's right. That's exactly it. All right, well, let's move on to the next one. I think this is where there's a good sort of captaincy pick available. So Chelsea versus Crystal Palace. Two very different stories for these two sides. So Crystal Palace, who are selling everyone, and you've got Chelsea, who are buying everyone. So really interesting matchup, this one. And of course, it's a home fixture for Chelsea. Yeah, what are your thoughts? Palmer looked really good, got a hat-trick of assists. And then you had Medueke getting a hat-trick. Still unsure how that side's going to line up. You know, the starting 11 is a big question mark as well. They've just got so many star players, well, so many potential players that could be doing 60 minutes or just a 10-15 minute cameo at the end there as well. Hard to say. How do you think this is? I mean, look, defensively, Palace not looking that great at the moment, but attack is looking decent, you know, but losing a fair bit of attack potential. How do you think this one's going to go? Tien, over to you. Or Karen, yeah, go for it.
I'm actually quite excited about this fixture. If there are two fixtures that I want to watch this weekend,
yeah,
definitely one of them is Man United vs Liverpool, and the other one is this one. As much as Newcastle and Spurs is a really exciting game, yeah, I think there's points to be had from an FPL perspective, from a Chelsea standpoint, and I've already, you know, spoiler alert, Palmer is my bus captain right now. All I wanted to see pre-season was, from the likes of Foden, Watkins and Palmer, is a bit of form, which we did not see. And as soon as, I know the stats and the XG might talk otherwise, but the moment we saw Palmer being Palmer in the last game against Wolves away,
yeah,
I think he's on it. And we've seen it last season when he's on it. So I didn't want to, you know, miss on a Palmer differential kind of a play. Mm-hmm. So there I am with the Palmer captaincy shout.
Yeah, I like it. It's good.
Yeah, I think that's a great shout. I think Palmer looked really good last game. Yeah, if I had him, I think he will be my captain. No second thought. I think Saka doesn't come close. I think Palmer is the best option this game week. Obviously, Nkunku is a serious doubt at the moment in terms of whether he starts or not. So he's currently on my bench, which is, you know, really a shame, because this is the fixture that I want.
It is a bit of a shame, yeah.
As you said, like, you don't even know who's gonna start for Chelsea. I think besides Palmer, no, you can't really say about anybody.
That's right.
It's very similar to City and Haaland.
Yeah, they just got, exactly. They just got too many options that they can play. So, So I think you either go Palmer if you can, or just avoid them altogether, really.
Yeah. Do you think
everyone is just a pun?
Yeah. Do you think, like, so Jackson's had two starts. I'm not a fan of Nico Jackson. He's on my do not buy ever list at the moment.
Yeah, he's a bit of a Darwin for a few of us, right?
Yeah. But he's been getting the starts, and obviously he got a goal as well in the first game week, was it? Actually, I'm not too sure. I'm pretty sure he's had a goal.
He did get an assist last game week when Palmer scooped the goalkeeper.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. So, I don't know. It's I don't know if he loses his place or he's favourable at the moment. He's getting the starts and he's getting pretty long time, you know, like before he's been subbed off. So, yeah.
Yeah, personally, I feel, you know, Nkunku is too good a player to be sitting on the bench.
Mm.
And I'm sure Maresca eventually would realise that Palmer is a good number 10. And that's where he belongs. He's not as at his best when he's playing on the right.
Yeah.
So you've got a couple of really good wingers on the right, a couple of good wingers on the left. So where does Nkunku fit? He's probably a Jackson replacement as a number 9.
And yeah, interesting.
I think that's the kind of system that I think they would go towards. But again, I'm not a manager myself. So I think Jackson is a bit of a risky pick FPL-wise.
Yeah, Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. And even if he start, he comes off early anyway, just because Chelsea have too many players to come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, same story. And I mean, who knows? Chelsea might buy another two strikers by
the end of the, Ivan Toney. You never know.
So, yeah, Ivan Toney there. They could be Chelsea player by Saturday. So you never know.
It's possible.
Yeah, and I'm not touching Jackson or anyone in Chelsea really besides Palmer. If I could get Palmer, I'll get him. But if not, I'll just stay away. It's just once again, it's just a shame because they have such a lovely fixture run.
Yeah, is there anyone in the defensive? I know you say that you wouldn't touch anyone else except for Palmer. But is there anyone as a defensive pick that you would potentially consider? Kukurea, maybe Colwill.
If on wildcard, Colwill maybe at a 4.5 price tag with five good fixtures on the run.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah.
Why you pick him over Robinson?
Yeah, true.
Fair point.
That's the thing. Like
that's the thing. Yeah, that's what you're comparing.
You're not picking the player from the team. You're picking the player against other player at the same.
Unless you were to go 2 4.5s or 3 4.5s and trying to beef up your attack. So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you go 3 or 4.5 to rotate, then perhaps. But
yeah, maybe a Konza from Villa. And
yeah.
I'm not that bullish on Villa, but anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Fair. That's really fair. Look, before we get to United and Liverpool, because I think that's gonna we're gonna chat a little bit more about that if we can. I agree. Newcastle Spurs, you know, I didn't highlight that fixture mostly because of captaincy, you know, at the moment. I don't know if we'd want a captain, a Spurs player or a Newcastle player in that fixture. But yeah, I think it's going to be a really good match. And I'm really glad that it's on at 10:30 p.m. on a Sunday because it's still a fixture that you can watch. And gosh, I might have to... I might have to check what time my first meeting is on Monday morning because I'm probably going to stay up for the United Liverpool match as well. So, what do you reckon? Like, I've got Isak in the team at the moment.
That's Murphy, gonna be a bit of a basketball historically, right?
Yeah, Murphy. Spoiler alert. I've already got rid of. I have Pedro Porro in the side as well. I don't have any other Spurs players. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that match.
From a viewership perspective, it should be a good match.
I
just really hope that they, it's like Newcastle do get some of the attacking powers back because I think when Harvey Barnes came on, like they play much
better. They look so much better. They look so much better with him.
Yeah, so if he's fit to start, I think if he starts, then Isak will have a lot sort of better chance up front.
Yeah,
but to those having Gordon in their squad, I think Barnes starting on the left, as much as it's beneficial for Isak and for Newcastle as a whole, it's not really good for Gordon because Gordon is going to play on the right then.
Yeah.
So just a caveat, when Barnes starts, they look better attacking wise, but it's not so good for Gordon as a shout out.
Yeah. And John's just said Spurs high line versus Gordon, Isak and Barnes equals goals. Isak captain. Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad shout.
At home.
The thing is, people will look at like, oh, Isak has blanked for the last few games.
That's the problem.
But of course, you know, you got first game. You know, they got a red card very early on. Yeah. So playing with 10 men, you got to ride that game off.
Yeah.
And then second game, you know, playing away from home. Newcastle's historically not very good away from home anyway. And the lineup, you could argue that you know it wasn't best. Set up for Isak because Isak had to drop and try to sort of control the ball a lot more. So yeah, as you said, you know, playing the Spurs high line may suit the system better, and especially if Barnes starts, and then Isak could be could be on for a few days. So great shout if someone want to go really punty.
Yeah, I reckon so. Akib's just said Isak scored twice versus Spurs last time. Look, it's the only reason I'm holding on to Isak at the moment. I've got enough money to go Isak to Watkins right now, and I'm just holding fire on that despite Villa having a good fixture there.
There's a bit of a recency bias that's kicking in there, right? Because everyone's just wanting to get rid, and I think he's the most sold player right now this game.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah,
but it's funny how he was the most hyped up player before and he was almost an essential when it was about our FPL game week one squad.
Yeah, had to be.
So
he was the first one in.
Yeah, and it's funny. I think he was the highest owned forward as well. So it's funny how things change so quickly and knees are jerking. I totally get that. But
yeah,
people selling Eze and Isak, I just don't get it. We got to hold firm. We got to hold fire. It's a matter of time. Points will come.
Yeah, absolutely.
The same people probably sold Palmer and Son before game week two.
That's it.
They didn't return game week one.
Yep.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like what we were chatting about in our Australian group chat as well. Like, who's buying Romero right now? Like, how did he increase in price?
Gosh.
But you got to love it. You got to love how it sort of swings. Massive shout out to Ryan, FPL. Sorry, Football Chat Box. I always sort of say FPL Chat Box, but it's Football Chat Box, Ryan. Great to see you. Thanks
really
for
change,
joining
man.
Us. I know. I know, because on Twitter he's MS, I think it's MS28 or something like that.
Yep.
great to see you, though, nonetheless.
Thanks
right,
for joining,
so, Ryan. So before we jump into a bit more around Liverpool and United, I'm just going to go to, like, so the captaincy picks, basically. So obviously we've got... I think Salah is probably least preferred at the moment, just because United's not going to be an easy fixture. We know that it's always a little bit. I mean, although, like, when I pop up the last couple of matches that United and Liverpool have played, they've been like wildly like one way or the other way. It's just it's crazy. But Haaland away to West Ham, Palmer, you know, home to Palace, and Saka probably home to Brighton are probably the top captaincy picks, bar the potential, you know, Isak pick for those that have Isak and want to, you know, punt on that captaincy pick against Spurs. But so Tien, where are you landing with your captaincy at the moment? Like, I know we're going to chat about our game week three teams, but should you consider, what would be your order of priority?
Well, I mean, for me personally, I'd only have two choices because I don't have Mo Salah and Palmer. So it'll be between Haaland and Saka at the moment. And so currently the bus captain is on Haaland.
Yeah,
and vice captain is on Saka. It might well switch either that, like, because I'm really tempted. The only thing that keep me away from Saka is Gandhi.
Yes. I remember sort of tweeting out, I think it was last season or the season before, where I was trying to work out where did this whole Gandhi thing come from, because those of us that are, you know,
I've got
Indian.
No idea.
Yeah, those of us that are Indian origin, you know, for us, it's like, what? For me, anyway, like, new to FPL, I was like, what is going on? How do I explain this? but yeah, no, you're right. Like, there is a risk with that one. How about you, Karen? You've already given us a spoiler on yours.
Yeah, my bus captain's Palmer, and I've actually made two moves. Two free transfers to bring him in. So that's kind of a bias kicking in, that now that I've spent two transfers, I want to make the most of it.
Yeah.
But I think I've got... The thing is, these are like Avengers right now. You can't have all of them in your team.
No.
And I've got three of them in my team right now. So Haaland, Palmer and Saka.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And I feel, Palmer is probably my pick of choice. The former, again, is saying, I don't have Salah. But you can't have them all, so I'm going Palmer captain.
Yeah, fair enough. Look, I've only got Salah and Haaland, which is completely different combination to both of you. I love that. I love how we've all got slightly different combination to what we've got up on the screen, which is Salah, Haaland, Palmer, and Saka. So I'm currently on Haaland mostly because I've not changed it from the last game week, but I'm very tempted by Salah. And I think I might leave it very last minute. And I've been playing, it's like, look, it's only been two game weeks, but I've been playing based on, you know, vibes alone.
I'd do it.
Yeah.
I know I'm bad influence on your captaincy shouts.
You are.
I remember
you both
Trent
are. Actually,
year.
You both are. That, which is hilarious. You have to tell us the story, Karen, because you're both terrible when it comes
I think it
to...
Was... I think it was the Diwali weekend. And for those who don't know Diwali, it's a festival of lights that we celebrate from the Hindu religion. And we were just wishing each other Diwali. And, you know, we were like, hey, Meera, deadline's at 8. we're probably going to be half drunk. What are you doing with your captaincy? I feel on
I'm half
vibes.
Drunk now.
I'm going, yeah, I feel I'm going Trent on vibes. And Trent had a home fixture or something.
Mm.
And he ended up scoring a one-pointer.
Yeah.
But the next game week, he scored a 12-pointer.
Yeah.
And Mira and I, we both captained Trent in the one-pointer, of course. So that's a bit of a fun fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad influence.
Yeah. And Tien, you know, like you've twice, we've twice done the, shall we not captain Haaland? What could go wrong?
Yeah. What could go wrong?
Yeah. I think the first, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened when we captained Kane that game week. I was in Melbourne that game week at a theatre performance. And I remember sort of, you know, getting up. I think it was like a couple of minutes before the interval, and I was like, oh, this perfectly timed interval. Anyway, I ran out, had a look, and I saw your message, and I was like, yeah, okay, let's captain Kane. And we did. It went terribly wrong that weekend. Anyway,
anyway,
let's exactly. Better, it's more sensible. I think after that I was like, no, don't try and over engineer, you know, the captaincy picks.
Don't go against the obvious, I would say.
I think Haaland playing at home, you know, against a non-top six side is there's no reason to go against him unless
absolutely.
We feel like he's not playing.
Yeah.
But away, you know, away from home, you can take him on.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Because I think West Ham do like to put up a game against Pep, especially at home. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Bowen scores a goal or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. This might be very tiny on your screen, so I apologize in advance. I sort of popped it up and realized that the font was very tiny for the previous sort of, you know, head-to-head between United and Liverpool. So for those that are listening, United have had 16 wins, Liverpool 13, and there's been 10 draws between the two sides. One of the most awaited fixtures, I feel like, for me anyway, like as a Liverpool supporter, I really do look forward to watching these matches. And most of my team is a combination of United and Liverpool fans as well. So there's plenty of family banter and feud going on around this sort of time. I've now, you know, got a new brother-in-law who's a huge United supporter as well. So that's already started. And yeah, the banter's been sort of, you know, ticking along over the past sort of week while, you know, United had their loss against Brighton. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. But I'll read out some of the scores. And you know, look, so the last Premier League match, so club friendly, Liverpool won, you know, 3-0. That was just recently. That was over in the States. But the last Premier League match was back in 8th of April, and it was a 2-2 draw. And then 18th of March prior to that, where we lost. So United won 4-3 at home at United. And then, you know, prior to that, and that was the FA Cup, actually, but Premier League, 0-0. But before that, obviously, the big win, that was 7-0. So it has swung, you know, a fair bit. And then prior to that, United won 2-1. Prior to that, you know, club friendly, United won 4-0, you know, and that was home at Anfield for us, or away for United. And it was 4-0, you know, prior to that as well. So I just see this match could go any direction at the moment. It's quite possible. But Tien, you know, I'll start with you. But judging by United's start to the season, how do you reckon this is going to go?
I don't think it's going to be a 7-0. Let's put it at that. I think under Ten Hag, and especially now we've got, you know, a few sort of reinforcement in the back line as well, and Onana is getting better. So I think you know, we should be able to put up a fight. It could go either way, but I don't think it's gonna be a big score. So you know, kind of 2-1 kind of game, in my opinion, either way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. From a goal-scoring perspective, who do you feel is... you haven't got Bruno on your side. I know so many Man United supporters. Actually, in my family league, the few Man United supporters, I can rely on them to have a couple of Man United players in their side. But you don't have anyone in your side at the moment yet.
No, being a Man United fan, I'd rather not have any, because then it at least it reduces the pain. So, yeah, a lot of people do that. Like they support a team and then they just load up the FPL team with players from the team they support. I generally do the opposite. I mean, obviously, I
That's
will have Man United players when they are playing really well, but
yeah.
obviously they haven't been for a long time now.
Mm.
And yeah, so I generally do the exactly opposite. So then at least if Man United win and we get a good result,
Yeah.
my FPL team may not do very well, but then at least I have something to be happy about, and then vice versa as well.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Karen, how are you feeling?
I see goals in this game.
Yeah.
I know Liverpool's defense have been fairly improved under Slot, and two clean sheets on the trot, but 3-2 for me. I can
Yeah.
see Garnacho scoring. I can see maybe a Trent or perhaps a Jota goal. I can see a Salah goal in it. So anyone who wants to go a Salah captain, I'd say go for it.
Yeah.
Not the worst of weeks to go against Haaland. So. And Salah has a good track record against Man United. Three two either way, like Tian said, but I can see goals. That's all I would put it as.
Yeah, no, I like it. I completely agree. And earlier, Im said United as a United fan, Rashford owner, good on you. It's an easy 5-2 win for us. Wow. Okay. I mean, I don't know about five
Love the
goals.
banter. Love the
Yeah, I
banter.
love it. Yeah, you know. Yeah, I mean, you've really showed us, the first two game weeks. So. Yeah, so, and this is the thing. This is what the banter's been like in the family chat. Ryan said 2-1. Either way, is what I'm thinking. Ryan owns Rashford, so a goal from him would be nice. Okay, yeah, fair enough.
I
Moment.
won't be surprised. I think the two goal scorers could either be Garnacho and Rashford, or Garnacho or Bruno. So
Yeah.
at least two goals either way.
Yeah,
Won't
no
be
fair.
surprised.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised either. I think just judging by how
It's
it's
the
gone,
magnitude of the game.
it
Yeah,
is. It
I
is. It's
think.
the pressure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And Moen said 2-0 or 3-1 to Liverpool, Salah on the score sheet. But if United scored first, then they win. Wow. Okay. Yeah. That sounds like a multiplayer bet. Type of prediction there, Mohan. You're gonna have to get onto that.
They're
yeah, no,
at
I.
home, they could park the bus. I can see where he's coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a great match. It always is. It always is. It's always nice, sort of watching. The. It's not. It's not. Re I don't know if you'd call it a derby, right? Like, but it's kind of feels
It's
that
one of the
way.
biggest rivalry in
It's the biggest
the rivalry.
rivalry. Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, look, I think it's probably going to be a 3-2 type of a match. Liverpool, of course. I reckon, yeah, 3-1, 3-2, that sort of game. I reckon we could probably get three goals if we sort of keep our shit together right from the beginning, as well. Like, we've had two game weeks where, look, the against Brentford, we started really well. First game week against Ipswich, bizarrely, it was almost like the first 45 minutes were just non-existent, right? So we hardly had any goals, any sort of shots on target, and we didn't play as well as I th hoped that we would play. So yeah, I reckon there's going to be goals. It's going to be a fun match, definitely. I was just going to bring up Lego Mane's hop on, hop off. Very quickly as well, like just from a picks point of view, like before we jump into our game week three teams, when are you guys thinking about wildcarding at the moment? Is that sort of on your horizon between game week three that we're hitting to 11 that this is forecasting at the moment?
I personally feel there's a world where we can do without a wild card. I mean, personally, I've got two Arsenal picks, and I think people are going to jump onto Arsenal in game week six onwards. There's probably a way to maneuver without shipping them out. And I know Haaland is a spanner in the works, because that makes it three really highly costly picks. But I think people are becoming more and more about immediate gains. And, you know, jumping onto a wildcard game week three, we don't know what Champions League would bring to us. So personally, with, and usually I'm a person in the previous years who pulls a wildcard trigger in game week four at the international break. So with that in mind, I'm still holding fire. I'm like, you know, there's more information to be had. As much as there are budget picks enabling the viable four premium or three premium squad right now, I think there's probably better ways to look at it from a long-term perspective. And I'm open to a game week six wildcard at the moment.
Yeah.
If not, I'll hold for later.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Tien?
Yeah, I think game week six is a good time to wildcard for a lot of people. I'm not locked in or anything. It really depends on what I do in the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, because, you know, you're right that, you know, Arsenal will have a lovely fixture run from game week six, but then before that, they do have a couple of tough fixture, you know, especially the, you know, when they play Man City and you know, the same with Haaland.
Yeah.
So there's a very good opportunity to sort of jump off, you know, Saka or Haaland if you kind of want to take punt on, like Liverpool, for example. Like they have a couple of good weeks between now and then. So like especially the Forest and the Bournemouth game.
Yeah.
4 and 5.
Yeah, definitely.
It is very tough for people to get Salah without selling at least Saka or Haaland.
Or Haaland, yep.
Yeah, like, you know, I can see a world where Haaland plus Saka or Haaland plus Nkunku, for example, to Watkins and somebody else. Or, you know, so you can get Salah. So Haaland and Saka out for Salah and Watkins, for example. Like,
that's a fixture play right there.
Yeah, really good picks for some really good features. And then it's just wildcard in six to get all of them back, at, you know, three Arsenal back or whatever. You know, you really play the fixture because, like, yes, you could argue that, you know, the like of Haaland and Saka are fixture proof, but they play each other. You can't really expect a high-scoring game between those two teams. So the opportunity and points to be gained there. And if you do that and kind of plan for that, then ideally you should at least have a couple of role transfer on top of that as well. And the benefit of the wild card this year is that you can save transfers after the wild card. Which is really handy because, yeah, then you don't lose that opportunity to fix up the team afterwards. So so that's what I'm sort of looking at, but I'm not locked in because I can still do transfers in a way that I don't need to wildcard in six.
Yeah, I'm definitely not locked in. I feel like I'm probably edging towards the six, seven, you know, around that sort of time. I just don't like the idea of jumping off of Liverpool players even for game week six, right? So that's, I know, away to Wolves, but Chelsea's just shipped 6 goals against Wolves. So, yeah, I'm not sure if I feel good about, you know, dropping some of my Liverpool players, even though, you know, I'm starting to see some wildcard six drafts. People are triggering their wildcard now, right? Like their wildcard three, wildcard four. So it's going to be really interesting to see where the template goes, even though there isn't really a template this season, it feels like. There's not really a... there's some set players, it seems like, in our teams, but not really a template forming at the moment, which is really nice to see. But I wonder, like, with the wild cards being played similar sort of time frame, whether a template will start emerging.
A question for you both on wild card. Do you think a -4 is okay to be a bit of a hop on, hop off from Haaland to Salah or bringing Haaland back? You reckon a -4 is something you'd be okay with, or would you still press the wildcard button given that we can roll the transfers?
Personally, I don't think it's just the Haaland on and off, because, yeah, it really depends. So, like,
it's a bit of spreading the funds, right?
Yeah, like, for example, for you, because you've already got two Arsenal right? And then it's very different for from a lot of teams who don't even have any Arsenal players at the moment. So for those teams, Haaland on and off won't solve the problem of not having any Arsenal, after game week six. So
Yeah, on the
I
flip side,
think it.
I don't have any Liverpool apart from Jota. So yeah, it's a similar conundrum.
Well, but that's the thing, like, because you've already chosen to not having Liverpool, or having too many Liverpool, then is that what you want to do? Like, is Liverpool players that you want to load up now and sacrifice elsewhere? Now, if you can do that without sacrificing Arsenal players, then there's no need to wildcard, right? But if on the other hand you say, I'm gonna sell Saliba, I'm gonna sell Saka to get Liverpool players, then
Yeah,
you
that's
are
a bit
pretty
of a hop
much,
on hop off right there.
yeah, and then you are pretty much heading towards the wildcard six
Agreed.
naturally anyway.
No, that's a good answer. Thanks, Tian.
I personally wouldn't think about taking hits for that scenario. Just because, right now everyone is packed so close that four, minus four is gonna feel painful as well. But also, it could swing either way, right? Like, so whilst we think it's a really good opportunity, I just don't see like the point of
It's just
doing that at
shipping
the
out
moment.
Haaland on a minus four is never a good point, or even
No.
Saka for that matter.
No, it's just so close. I mean, they're both on same amount of points after two game weeks, right? And yeah, so it might just kind of it's swings and roundabouts, really, like with that. So I'm not sure if it's worth it. But let's have a quick look at we won't spend too long on this because we've just gone through some of the fixtures there, but these are some of the projected goals and clean sheet odds. Anything sort of stand out for you guys on here? So clean sheet odds for obviously for Arsenal being fairly high, nothing too surprising there. I guess
I
as
don't see many clean
expected.
sheets this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't see many clean sheets, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
The one I'd be really happy with is an Ipswich versus Fulham, though, because could be a bit of a cagey game there.
Yeah, I think that could be fun to watch. Yep. The other one that I mean, interestingly, Chelsea Crystal Palace, I mean 32%. Eze's looked really good though. Like he's not had the returns, but he's looked really good.
He's due big time. Him and
Yeah.
Muniz, I think they're both
I think
due
he'll
big time.
score. I think he'll score against Chelsea. I think Brighton will score against Arsenal. I think Chelsea, Man City will concede. So I agree there. I think clean sheets will be rare this game week, or be where you might not expect.
Agree. Agree. Nothing more to add here. I think like the Newcastle Spurs match, like that's pretty it's looking exactly the same, which is really interesting to see that. I've not you don't often see 1.85 and 16% there for both of
That
them.
is so evenly matched right there.
Yeah, it's not often you see that, so
Even the bookies don't know what to do with that
no.
game.
It could go anyway. No, I'm looking forward to it. There's about 16 of you watching. Just wanted to say a shout out to everyone that's tuned in on YouTube. Thanks for joining us. We are way over an hour in, and usually the guest streams that I do for Off the Cuff, they do end up being that way. And it's been a lot of fun catching up with Curran and Tien today to chat about game week three, and of course we're also looking at some of the fixtures as well. But we're going to jump into our game week three team, so please do like and subscribe. I'm very close to 500 subscribers, and it's been I think exactly a year since I started my show, and that was on Spaces and then YouTube. And but yeah, I think YouTube reminded me that I've been a year on YouTube, when I since I uploaded my first video, so I can't
I
believe
think
it's
that's
been
a
a
decent
year.
enough reason for all the viewers. Please hit the like and subscribe button. Big shout out to Mira. I love the off the cuff chats because it's off the cuff. So for that reason, let's keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys coming on as well. It's just so nice to have a casual conversation about FPL. So Tien, we'll go to you first for your game week three bus team. So yeah, talk to us. What have you got? Just read out your team for audio as well.
Yep. So currently unchanged from game week two in terms of the whole squad. Just one lineup change. But in goal, I've got Pop. In defense, I've got Trent, Poro, and Munoz. Saka, Jota, Roger, and Smith Rowe in midfield. And up front, I've got Muniz, Haaland, and Isak. So one change from game week two, which is Nkunku, is now demoted to the bench, and Roger comes in for the Leicester game, which, by the way, he's been looking really good. So I'm very glad that I have him. I have one free transfer that I haven't made, and currently I'm not planning to make any.
Okay.
A lot of people saying, well, you know, you can sell Isak for Watkins. I have plenty of money to do that. I can make that move easily, but I don't think I will. Just because I think Isak is still a good option, at least for this game week.
Yep.
I've already got Rodgers kind of covering the Villa fixture. And if Watkin is looking good and fit, most importantly, because he's been subbed very early in the last two games. So it looks like there's still some fitness or still getting back to the full up to full fitness. So if he's fit and playing more minutes, then he almost guaranteed to come in for me next game week, because he's, you know, they still got three lovely fixtures after Everton at home, Wolves at home, and if this week away, I don't think it's late to jump on from next week. I am in no rush to do it this week. So that is the plan. I'm hoping to roll. Hopefully there's no
I like it.
Surprise, you know, injury that come out from the pressers.
I'm really jealous of your defense.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I've been, Munoz hasn't been looking as attacking as he used to be last season. And obviously Palace has been a bit leaky as well. So I'm not very hoping for much there.
I think it's the Henderson. I think it's the Henderson picks that, you know, Karen and I have got, and probably half of, you know, FPL Twitter as well.
I think I had Henderson for pretty much the entire time until pretty much the last minute when I make some switches, then I've got 0.5 left in the bank. So I say, well, I'll just upgrade him to Pope.
No, I think Pope's a definite long term play. So kudos to you with that move.
Yeah, I think I'm glad with that. But at least with Munoz, I have a slim chance of an attacking return, whereas for Henderson, obviously you've got nothing but clean sheet. But who knows? I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, he's been awful, honestly. I have no idea what to do about that. And I don't want to waste it. Like I say, I don't want to waste a transfer. There was me, you know, beginning of the season. I'll probably start rolling like three or four transfers, and I'll take out the goalkeeper if it doesn't work out. And now I'm like, oh my God, my precious transfers. I'm not going to waste those.
Yeah, it's a bit of an overkill where people thought, oh, we go rolling four transfers. Never happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Quick question from Dheeraj. So Dheeraj has said, always asking, do you think that there's any world where you can bench Poro for, say, Konsa this game week?
No,
I wouldn't.
No.
Yeah.
Because Poro has been very attacking as
usual. And Leicester's playing at home.
Yeah, last taking shots.
Yes.
So, no. I mean, it's probably unlikely that Poro will keep a clean sheet, but we don't own Poro for clean sheet anyway.
No.
Or any Spurs defenders for that.
No. That's right.
Agreed.
That's right. Over to you, Karen, for your game week three.
Well, I've made two transfers already. So those were my two free transfers rolled over from game week two and three, or one and two. Defense remains the same. I've got Henderson, Saliba, Poro, and Robinson. Quite happy with that. Midfield, I've got Minte playing against Arsenal. A bit iffy, but I've got the option to start Ben Johnson, who's an Ipswich defender playing Fulham at home. And I've got Saka, who's currently my vice-captain. I've got Diogo Jota, very happy to own him. I've got Palmer, who I brought him for this fixture against Palace as a bit of a differential captain. I've got Smith Rowe, Haaland, and Isak on my bench. So the two moves that I made, I had Solanke, who's currently injured. We don't know how he rocks up against Newcastle. But Solanke down to Jebison from Bournemouth as a bench fodder backup. And I upgraded Gordon. From what I saw of Gordon, I wasn't very convinced, even though he scored a goal and he got me some points.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring in Palmer because he's probably one of the better premiums that I can have as a differential. So, yeah, pretty happy with the squad. No free transfers rolling into the next game week, but we'll worry about that when we get there.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, I really like your team. I'm I think it's the Palmer recency bias, of course, after his goal and assists and but yeah, no, I love how you've gone ahead and, you know, just made the double transfer and you know, you went early as well, right? To avoid any price drops and
price drops or price rises. Yeah, I think Palmer probably would rise before the deadline. So I think the only two players that I'm missing or having FOMO about is Trent and Salah.
Yeah.
And this week is all right. But next week, if I really am desperate about one of them, I can downgrade Isak to a João Pedro.
Yeah.
And upgrade either
Saka. They've got some good fixtures. Yeah.
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 Upgrade either Saka or maybe Kwanzaa, depending if I want to bring in Salah or Trent. So a -4, but for the long term.
Kwanzaa. So he's dropped twice.
A double drop. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right there.
Yeah, it hurts. It really does hurt. Because
I think for me, to be honest, it's a bit of a saving grace with me going Minte and Smith Rowe. Because how I would have been otherwise was having a Harry Winks, for example, and Nkunku and a Kwanzaa. So I'm just glad that I've gone, you know, not a 4.5 midfielder and Nkunku versus Minte and Smith Rowe. So I'm just glad I've picked it that way so I can still afford to have the double price drop. Otherwise, I would have made a desperate transfer.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, I'm so annoyed about that, though, because I'm not typically someone who chases price drops or price increases or anything like that. But this season so far, it just seems like there's just been a ridiculous amount of them as well. And I just can't keep up.
It just doesn't make sense. And more importantly, it also holds a Liverpool slot, right? So in case I wanted to go Trent and Salah by downgrading Haaland, I can't. So
yeah,
it's one of those. But you got to take it on your chin.
I know.
You win some, you lose some.
Exactly. And it's the same like with my side as well. There was a tiny part of me that was tempted to take out Porro to bring in Robertson, for example. And I can't because I've got Kwanzaa on my third bench at the moment as well. So
that defense is exactly the same. Sorry.
Yeah. Mira. Yeah. Well, you've got Saliba. Apart I've got Gabriel. Saliba, yeah, yeah. Yeah. This is it. Yeah. So I've got Henderson in goal, Porro, Gabriel, Robinson in my defensive part of my team. I've got Jota. So I took out Murphy and brought in Rodgers. So I already made one transfer. I was worried about, like, I knew Kwanzaa. I knew I needed to make two transfers to take out Kwanzaa. And, you know, like, I could not work out which 4 mil defender I wanted or a 4.5 mil defender I wanted. So I was like, okay, Kwanzaa problem can wait for the future. That's a future problem. And I didn't want Murphy to also become a problem. So I took out Murphy and brought in Rodgers. And I've then got Smith Rowe. I've got Salah as vice-captain at the moment. And I've got Isak, Havertz and Haaland in my front line with Haaland captaincy. And then on my bench, I've got Bentley, Johnson, Winks and Kwanzaa, of course. And so, yeah, I'm happy with Johnson and Winks, you know, to be fair, like both of them. I might swap them around just to have the attacker ahead of the, you know, the defender there. But yeah, I'm fairly happy with the team. I've got, sorry, I already rolled a transfer, so I've got one free transfer. So I quite like the idea of going into, after international break, going into game week 4 with two free transfers. That'll make a huge difference, especially if I'm thinking about bringing in, you know, a Robertson or a Trent. That's when Kwanzaa will, you know, make way from my team finally. But I have no idea who I'm going to downgrade. It could be a Havertz potentially. It could be an Isak. I'm not sure. I don't know how much I want Watkins as well. So that was definitely on my playing on my mind. Do I take Isak out now and bring in Watkins? I've got enough money in the bank to make that move. But I decided to go Rodgers just because Murphy was a problem. So I feel like it was a bit of a forced move for me. But it's okay. You know, I'm all right with that. And I'm all right with this team going into game week three at the moment. I think it's just the captaincy that I'm a little bit on the fence about. I think if I don't go Haaland, I'll probably go Salah and just make a bit of a punty captaincy pick, I guess. Not the best captaincy pick, I feel. I don't think that match is going to be what I hope it will be. It'll probably be, you know, challenging, as we, you know, discussed today around United and Liverpool. But I think Haaland is the safe captaincy pick for this game week, and without sort of over complicating it, I may just leave it there on Haaland.
When in doubt, go Haaland. That's all I would say. I've learned that.
You can't go wrong with Haaland, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So look, we're nearly there. We've got a couple of questions, and if there's any questions in the chat, please do pop them up. We'll cover the questions, you know, soon. So this time round, I decided that we'll play a bit of a game, and I'll try and keep a bit of a tally on this as well. But I decided to come up with a new segment, and it's called Punty McPuntface. And I thought it'd be nice to get the guests to just pick a punt pick for just one game week. So game week three, I asked you guys, you know, who are your punt picks for this game week, and under 10% owned or 10% selected. A little bit challenging because obviously loads of transfers are being made at the moment. And I think, Karen, we'll go to your one first. So your Punty McPuntface was Muniz. And obviously Muniz at the time of selection was still 9%. But I think he's tipped over 10% now. I'm not sure. I need to kind of check that.
I think
so disqualified.
If it's not a qualified entry, I've got a wild card entry. I'd go Mbeumo against Southampton.
I love that.
I'll come back to that because that might have been a pick that we've already got.
Probably a brace potential there. So I'd go there if Muniz doesn't qualify. But if Muniz does, I'll still hold on to my pick. At the time of submission, he was 9.9%. Yeah. So.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think it's a great pick. I was surprised he was so lowly owned. When you said Muniz, I was like, really? But yeah, he was under 10%. Brilliant.
Yeah, he's due. I think from what we saw, 7 shots on the, you know, on the goal, and he was a bit unlucky or maybe a bit poor in terms of his finishing. But from last year, we do know that he goes on a bit of a run where he starts scoring and then he's scoring for fun. So
yeah,
I've never owned him. I wish I can own him. But yeah, for now, I think he's a good pick.
Mm-hmm. All right. So our next Punty McPuntface for Tien. So Tien, you had 2 picks as well. I just made a selection out of those 2 that you had. And Robertson, tell us about your pick.
Yeah, so I think I really like Liverpool. So obviously playing again Man United this week, we've already discussed, but it's not just for this week. You know, they've got 3 really lovely fixtures after that as well.
Yeah.
So Forest, Bournemouth and Wolves. And yeah, you know, Robertson has been looking really good. You know, him and Trent, you know, has been sharing the corners duties. And he's looking very attacking. So yeah, only about 5% on. He's a lovely differential, especially if you can't get to Trent, anyone that Liverpool sort of attacking defender. I think he's a very, very good option.
Yeah, I agree. He looked great. He looked really good. Like, he had 2 chances, really 2 big chances.
Yeah.
So close. And that's where, like, Liverpool were a little bit rampant in their, you know, like their opportunities that they unfortunately missed out on those few ones. So my Punty McPuntface, funny enough, is Brian Mbeumo. So I did sort of, you know, pick him out. I probably should have mentioned it in the chat when we were chatting earlier. But yeah, I agree. I think it's a really good opportunity to go on Brian Mbeumo. I mean, 7 mil, you know, it's a decent sort of price tag on him with Tony sort of, you know, potentially not playing, making way. The only problem is that they've got, you know, obviously, you know, City next. So if it's just one game week, then the Southampton home fixture is a fantastic opportunity. Even Wissa, I was like close to thinking maybe Wissa could be a really good pick as well as a forward option, because obviously Mbeumo is a midfielder, you know, so... Yeah, I quite like the Wissa pick as well, but yeah, I think Brentford will start sort of scoring a little bit more, and this could be the fixture for it.
Yeah, those on wildcard, I think Mbeumo is a no-brainer, as long as you can rotate that eighth attacker from a Minte or a João Pedro perspective.
Yeah, absolutely, completely agree. So there was a couple of questions that came up on Twitter, so I've just grabbed them, you know. So Akib, who's also in the chat, so yeah, Akib asked, yeah, what's my differential pick? So there you go, that was my differential pick. If I had to pick, I'd probably go Brian Mbeumo, but I quite like the picks that Tien and Curran have as well. So Robertson, I think if I could go Robertson, I probably would have, against United. I just thought he looked great doing that one move. But I think going into the international break with two free transfers and lots of thinking time will definitely help, especially with the Forest and the Wolves fixture that's coming up for Liverpool. So yeah, that's where I'd go. Curran, your differential captain if there is no Salah, Haaland, Saka, and Palmer.
I'll go blockbuster. I'll say Ollie Watkins.
Oh, yes.
If there's points chasing and, you know, Isak, Solanke haven't really been off the mark yet.
Mm.
Ollie Watkins is right there. The fixtures are there for the next four game weeks. Playing against Leicester, Forest. I think they play against Everton or Wolves as well at home. So, yeah, the fixtures are there. And we know what Ollie Watkins is. Last year, I used to call him Harry Kane Light. But I think he's almost a Harry Kane himself now. Has had a slow start, but... Yeah, he's Ollie Watkins. We know the potential.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. And Lewis is saying that I think I took his pick there. But yeah, great minds. Sai is asking a question around Watkins or Jackson. Tien.
Not Jackson. Can't trust him.
Can't trust him. Yeah. Curran?
I think Watkins when it comes to Tien, it's... anything except Jackson and Darwin. That's what Tien is.
They're both on my never buy.
Yep. Campus,
so yeah. Yeah. I've got Reece James on there as well.
Well, James and a couple of others, but
yeah.
And Watkins is right there. I mean, I mentioned in my previous answer, but yeah, he's just up there. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, agree. Any 4 million defender?
The Wolves defender. Sorry, I don't know his name, but have been seeing him in a lot of drafts.
Is that Aina?
No, not the Forest guy, but the Wolves defender. Starts with an M. Mosquera or?
Okay. Mosquera. Yeah, I know. The one that strangle.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that guy. Yes.
The Undertaker guy.
The Undertaker.
the other one that you could think about is
Johnson.
Ben Johnson or
no, Greaves.
Greaves, yeah, yes. He looked good.
Aerial threat, yeah.
He is looking pretty good aerially. I think he's a target for every corner. They do come into a pretty good fixture run as well. So if they can keep any clean sheet, that'll be great. But he does have that aerial threat. That could be a great option.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I think that's a great pick. He looked great against us in that first game week. Last question from Sai was Rodgers or any Chelsea midfielder other than Palmer?
Rodgers.
Has to be Rodgers. Yeah.
Sai, I personally had the same conundrum. I had two free transfers, Solanke and the other midfielder that I shipped out, Gordon.
Mm.
So I had enough funds to bring in Watkins and Rodgers. I had a bit of a knee jerk on Monday morning when I noticed Palmer being Palmer. I brought him in, but you know, the logical pick would probably be Rodgers and Watkins as a double play, playing the fixtures. And Rodgers looked electric in game week 2. So had I had the time, I would probably go Watkins and Rodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we said it earlier, Chelsea, you only have Palmer. No one. I don't think you can trust any other midfielder at the moment.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You don't even know
who. Don't know who's going to play.
Yeah.
Neto looked really good, though.
Neto came on. He looked good. Felix came
looked
on.
Good.
He looked good. And they might buy another 3 by the end of the week. So who knows?
Who knows? I know it's that time of the week, you know, for us over here anyway. It's you know, Thursday night for us and almost hitting 11 p.m. So I really do appreciate you guys being on Off the Cuff with me tonight. And those of you that are watching from all over the globe, you know, we had I think it was John who was Lewis who was on at like 4:15 this morning from the States. So yeah, really do appreciate it. We'll take a couple of questions if there are any in the chat, and we'll probably wrap up at that point. So yeah, I think there were a few. So Mr. T, good morning, afternoon, evening. I hope you're all doing well. I'm 500k overall with 2 free transfers. Have Isak, Eze, Smith Rowe, Rogers, Jota, Saka, Haaland, and Wood. I've been too risk averse in the past. Watkins and Charles. Yeah. I don't think there's a question in that, but yeah. Sorry, I thought there was a question in that. I apologize. Mr. T, if you do have a question, let us know. Actually, he did. So thinking of bringing Watkins and Chelsky mid and take out Eze and Isak. What do you think, guys?
If there's no defensive fires to be put out, I'd hold fire. Looks a decent enough forward line. And Isak and Eze are due. Again, would be a bit knee-jerky if you were to ship them out. So personally, I would hold and I would roll another transfer.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of having to roll more than 2 transfers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Like, yeah. Eze and Isak are the players that you will regret instantly as soon as you sell.
Yeah, no, I like it. Mr. T said, 4 mil defender has got to be Fass. How do you say his name?
Is he not rumored to be shipped out, or didn't he want to leave Leicester?
I think there's a rumor that he's.
I'd just be skeptical about that.
I can't remember. Yeah. What club he's going to? But
there's so many rumors for so many players right now.
He's a good pick, but he's gone up in price, I believe.
He's 4.1, I think. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So not 4.0 anymore.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of rumors flying around at the moment, I think the most hilarious one that I got caught out by, especially, was, you know, Darwin to Arsenal. I was like, wait, what? What am I waking up to? And then Karen was like, it's a parody account. But now it's picking up a bit of momentum.
You caught me off guard and I was like, no, that can't be true.
No, seriously hilarious on that. But I think that's it from a questions point of view. Lots of thank yous in the chat as well. Really appreciate all of you guys being there in the chat. Thanks for all the comments. Please do like and subscribe. Really do appreciate your support. As mentioned, I'm nearing 500 subscribers. So yeah, it'd be wonderful to hit that during international break even. You know, would be really, really nice. I've got some guests coming up during international break as well. Looking forward to chatting to some of the FPL USA folks as well. So yeah, especially from the Press Play podcast. If you haven't caught that, it's a fantastic podcast from the guys from the USA FPL crew over there. There was one more question that came up. That's hilarious. Favorite takeaway dish, something non-FPL for you. Tien.
Turkish. Yeah. Can't go wrong with a pide or a kebab, especially after a hangover.
Yeah, we did that, Curran, after watching an all-nighter of matches, the Sydney meets that we did.
Liverpool-Everton, the derby we watched, yep.
Yeah, that was hilarious. What did we... I think I had a falafel kebab. I can't remember what probably, I had
a chicken kebab or something, but that was a good night.
That was a fun night. But how about you? What's your takeaway of choice?
I personally love Thai food. So a pad kee mao. I'm not sure if many know about it, but it's a spicy flat noodle.
Mm.
Love it.
Yep. No, I think for me, Asian food, I think moving over here to Australia from the UK, especially, so the UK is so like multicultured, lots of diverse cuisines there. But the Asian food, so when I say Asian food, I mean, you know, Vietnamese food, Malaysian food, Thai food, it's not as good as it is over here, just because of the region that we're in, Asia, sort of Pacific. It's so... nice. It's so, so good over here. So for me, it would be going for just takeaway pho or something like that. Vietnamese. I love Vietnamese food. And yeah, so that's probably my go-to. Just the flavors, they just pop. But Thai is my other, so having a laksa or something like that is usually what I would go for. And I'm like new gluten intolerant person. So, you know, no more kebabs for me, unless I can find a gluten-free kebab, which is not going to happen. It'll be a naked kebab, basically. but yeah, great question there for us. Look, that's about it. So thank you to everyone that has tuned in. Tien, Curran, thank you so much for joining me on a very off the cuff chat. And it was a pleasure getting to know you both. Tien, I feel like I know you really well. Curran, I feel like I know you really well. But I think for everyone that's listening and watching, I feel like they would have got to know you guys a little bit better as well. So yeah, we've got a really close-knit community over here in Australia. Lots of good banter chats going on in group chats in the background. And yeah, our league, you know, is always having fun as well. Lots of good banter. So yeah, really, really good. I'm so happy to be part of this this community over here in Australia. But look, good luck to everyone in their upcoming game week. Any shout outs or plugins for you guys? Where can everyone find you? Curran, over to you first.
Firstly, I'm really glad to be here. Thanks, Mira, for inviting me here. And everyone who wants to connect, I'm on Twitter, Curran_FPL. And really a pleasure to be a part of the Australian FPL community.
Yeah, no, likewise. Thanks for inviting me on. Just lovely to chat to you. And yeah, hopefully I will be able to see you both in Sydney in a few weeks' time, because we are planning
to be great.
Sydney for a little family holiday in the school holiday. But yeah, if people want to sort of connect and have a chat on Twitter or X, as we call it these days, just FPL Planner AU. So yeah, it's been lovely and just really looking forward to this weekend. Hopefully we'll get a good result again, you guys, but not holding my breath for that. Just looking forward to the football and
should be a good game
and FPL. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it'll be a great game. And I love how like it's middle of the night and there's a bunch of us that are watching, watching football overnight and Goal Rush and all of that. It's great. Like you see a message pop up and you're like, yeah, there's a bunch of us that are awake watching, which is always good fun. Fantastic. So it looks like we're having a Sydney meets in the next couple of weeks with Tien in town. So yeah, that'll be
sounds
very
like
exciting. Yeah. I'll socialize some dates and we'll make it happen. Thanks again, everyone. Great to sort of have you there in the chat. Really appreciate it. Like and subscribe, as mentioned. Have a great game week. May your arrows be super green. Good luck. Take care. Thanks again. See ya. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Everybody.